Okay, TJs, a quick intro to our latest interview on the SoundCloud page. I talked to Laura Hamill, PhD. She leads the Limeade People team, nurturing the company's award-winning culture of improvement while developing groundbreaking people practices and architecting employee engagement strategies for Limeade and its 100-plus enterprise customers. Deep breath. Yes, so we talked about innovation, we talked about well-being, and we talked about work-life integration and lots more. So, put your headphones on and enjoy this one. So Laura, thanks a lot for your time talking to TJ today. We're going to be talking about well-being, innovation, various topics around this. My first question is, what do you think are the most important initiatives you can put in place to ensure your employees' well-being in 2018?
Thanks, John. Well, I think I might be good to start with just what is well-being, because I think a lot of people have different kind of understandings or definitions of the topic of well-being. Well-being is the idea of feeling good and living with purpose. And the feeling good part of that absolutely has a component that's your physical self. But there's also another part of feeling good that's feeling good in your head. And it's how feeling good in your head and feeling good in your body work together. The living with purpose part is also really important. Living with purpose has to do with the idea of, do you have a reason to get up every day? Do you have something that you get excited about in your life? And so what we really focus on here at Limeade is how might you actually get more well-being in your employees? And the most important part of that that we've really learned over time is the concept of organizational support. So it's really this idea that how does the organization encourage and reinforce and really nudge its employees to care about their own well-being? So do we make it easy for employees or do we make it hard? So what I would say is for organizations to really think about, how do we actually do that? Do we make it easy? Do we make it hard? Do managers encourage people to take care of themselves? Or do they actually discourage or kind of punish people when they're taking care of themselves? How do leaders reinforce and encourage employees to be thinking about their well-being? Have we connected it in any way to our business strategy and shown that really the only way for this company to be successful is for our employees to be taking care of themselves? So the idea really is, how can organizations show employees in very tangible, everyday, authentic ways that they care about them as human beings?
So one thing in the build-up when we were sorting out some questions for this interview is we're talking about that well-being isn't just about one single aspect of how your employees behave at work. But do you think that caring about the employee in all different aspects of their life makes maintaining a work-life balance a bit harder to achieve?
So that's an interesting idea. I mean, we really believe in this idea, and there's a lot of good research on this, of whole person well-being, that you have to think about people as whole people, that you can't just think about their physical health or what people kind of think of as traditional wellness. You can't just think about what they're doing for you as an organization. Are they being productive or not? If you actually treat them like whole people, you're going to actually have more of a place where people want to come to work every day. But the idea of work-life balance is an interesting one. I think by definition, we're thinking that work-life balance is sort of this kind of zero-sum game, right? And there's only so much time in the day, and how much of your time is at work and how much of your time is at home. Well, actually, there's kind of another way to think about this is work-life integration instead of work-life balance. And so the idea is, do you feel really engaged, fulfilled, excited in your life overall? Right? Do you feel like this is the kind of life that I want to have? Or do you feel like, oh man, I'm just counting the hours until I can get home, or I'm so glad it's Friday because I can't stand being at work anymore? What we're really talking about is quality of life. So I really encourage organizations to think about how they're contributing to a high quality of life versus taking away from it. So I really think caring about employees in authentic ways, it's pretty important for it to be authentic. That actually works to having people feel like they have a fulfilled life. And it's not, again, about just how many hours am I at work versus how many hours I am at home.
I think more and more employees and more businesses these days are asked to be innovative and creative. So how can well-being promote innovation and creativity in the workplace?
Yeah, I've been so interested on this topic. I feel really lucky that I get to be pretty creative in my job. And I realize when I am, I'm kind of the most fulfilled. I love the things I'm working on. It's the time where I feel like actually I do a lot of my best work is when I get to be creative. So I was really curious about this topic because I wanted to have more times when I was creative. So I was trying to really think about how could I have more of that. And I realized the more I tried to force it, right? If I had, 3 o'clock on a Tuesday, I had a little window to be creative. It didn't always happen that I was able to be creative when I decided that I had a block of time to do it. So I was just really curious about this concept. And so I was digging into it and really seeing how important in there's some really good research that shows how important well-being is to just your ability to be creative. And so there's a statistical relationship between well-being and creativity, and it goes actually both ways. The more opportunities you have to be creative, the more well-being you have in your life. Creativity is really important to feeling kind of alive and feeling like you have a great life. So there's some great research on the statistical relationship between well-being and creativity. But I also was just kind of interested in, why is that? And one of the main components or concepts here is the concept of stress. So when we're stressed, we have a very narrow attention. That is, we tend to get kind of like tunnel vision just on the things that are stressing us out. So when you're very narrow, you also have fewer cognitive resources, fewer emotional resources. You just don't have the energy to be creative. And really just kind of this diminished motivation to go above and beyond, which is what's required when you're trying to be creative and innovative. So I think that the more stress we have in our lives, the more it really limits our ability to be able to be creative and innovative. And well-being is one of those concepts that actually helps you decrease stress in your life. So that's why we really think it's important for organizations to realize if you want your organization to be growing and generating ideas and being innovative, you have to support your employees and help them feel less stress, make the space for being innovative, both kind of mentally and from a physical perspective. But you have to really create the conditions where people can have well-being if you want that to happen.
So I think that even though the idea of well-being at work has been around for a while, certainly in the UK, the importance of it at work in a lot of different industries has only been talked up in the last few months, maybe the last couple of years. So it's certainly become something that's really important. Nevertheless, I don't think everyone necessarily knows, I certainly don't, how to spot the signs of people having workplace well-being issues. So give us some hard to spot signs that your workforce might be having some issues in that department.
Yeah. So one of the ways to kind of think about this in terms of hard to spot signs is the concept of burnout. So burnout is such an interesting topic to me. It's been something that everybody knows kind of about, that people have been talking about, for a long time, but most organizations have done nothing to really systemically address it. And I was curious about that too. Like, why is that? I think about, people who in organizations where I've worked where they were on a high potential list, but somehow a year later were okay that they quit. So why is it that burnout, we all know as individual employees about it, but organizations don't do anything about it? And so I was really dug into the literature and the research on this topic. And I started to realize there were a couple reasons why burnout is so hard to spot and so hard for organizations to do something about. The first reason is that there's this natural set of stages that somebody who's burning out goes through. The first stage is this idea of exhaustion. That's probably no surprise, right? When you're burning out, you're completely tired. But it's the kind of exhaustion that a good night's sleep actually doesn't cure. It really is more about depletion. So exhausted that you just feel like you can't really function. The second phase is the one that I think is really important to this conversation. It's the idea of becoming cynical. So people who are burning out start to become, after the exhaustion part of it, start to become really cynical. They start to be negative about their customers, negative about the leadership. They're really kind of hard to be around because they're so negative. And then the third stage is this idea of inefficacy. Like, what's the point? Why do I try so hard? I'm not making a difference. So I think when people are burned out, they become, you kind of think about it like the toxic employees, the employees that are really kind of easy to cast aside. Now, what's critical to this is you realize they started out as your most engaged employees. Those employees who cared so much that they really just gave everything, they really sacrificed everything for your organization. But somehow we are okay dismissing them because of this kind of cynicism that they have. So that's the first reason why I think that's really hard to spot, because they tend to become quite negative. The second reason is people who are burning out, the way it shows up varies so much from person to person. So one person, you know, might gain 40 pounds. The next person might become an alcoholic. The next person, you know, might be going through an awful divorce. So they're usually mixed it in with somebody who's burning out, are very complicated mental health issues, physical health issues, you know, personal relationship, money issues. So it becomes really complicated. So the reason why I bring up burnout is this really interesting intersection between high levels of employee engagement and low levels of well-being. And I think organizations really need to do more to understand their role in causing people to burn out and what they need to do to fix burnout. It's really a lot more systemic issues that cause burnout. There's a little saying that, you know, you can't yoga your way out of burnout, right? There are lots of things that individual people can do to handle stress. But if you're on the path for burnout, you really need much kind of bigger levels of support from your organization. You need bigger changes to happen.
So I'm going to build on that last point with my last question, actually, which is, what current business practices do you think most need to be gotten rid of to improve the well-being experience of employees?
I think we need to stop thinking about well-being as just this program that's in benefits. We really need to think about well-being as fundamental to the success of our business, that caring about people as people is really the only way our business is going to be successful. So I think that means giving up some things like traditional command and control ways of running organizations. We've got to really start trusting employees more, giving a lot more autonomy to them. I think another thing is that we've got to be able to really help our employees see that they can be themselves at work, that they can show emotion at work, that they can be human at work. And then finally, I guess I'd say, let's think about how we can reduce the stress levels that we are really putting on our employees. How can we help individuals handle stress better, for sure? But how could we actually do more to think about the organization's role in creating stress in the first place? So those are some of the things that I'd say, gosh, we just need to think a little bit differently about how we do work.
Well, Laura, it's been educational. Thanks very much for talking to TJ today.
Oh, awesome. Thanks so much for having me.